Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion, 12th Hour in Liberty, Texas. Today is February 16, 2017, or it's 8 or 20, 2020. We're starting our first service today with a song entitled, Anywhere with Yahshua, I Can Safely Go. Anywhere with Yahshua I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Yahshua I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, there I cannot know. Anywhere but Yahshua I can safely go. Anywhere but Yahshua I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my home. Though his hand may lead me over the reed ways, anywhere with Yahshua is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, there I cannot know. Anywhere with Yahshua I can safely go. Anywhere with Yahshua I can go to sleep. The gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Yahshua will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Yahshua I can safely go. Part 12, Captivity and Restoration, Patriarchs and Prophets and Kings, Chapter 28, Hezekiah. We're going to continue on our series here. In sharp contrast with the reckless rule of the Ahaz was the Reformation wrought during the prosperous reign of his son. Hezekiah came to the throne determined to do all in his power to save Judah from the fate that was overtaking the northern kingdom. The messages of the prophets offered no encouragement to halfway measures. Only by the most decided reformation could the threatened judgments be averted. In the crisis, Hezekiah proved to be a man of the opportunity. No sooner had he ascended the throne than he began to plan and to execute. He first turned his attention unto the restoration of the temple services. So long neglected, and in this work he earnestly solicited the cooperation of a band of priests and Levites who had remained true to their sacred calling. Confident of their loyal support, he spoke with them freely concerning his desire to institute immediate and far-reaching reform. Our fathers have trespassed, he confessed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of our Savior, Yahweh our Elohim, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Yahweh. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us, 2 Chronicles 29:6-10. In a few well-chosen words, the king reviewed the situation they were facing. The closed temple and the cessation of all services within its precincts, the flagrant idolatry practiced in the streets of the city and throughout the kingdom, the apostasy of the multitudes who might have remained true unto Elohim had the leaders in Judah set before them a right example, and the decline of the kingdom and loss of the prestige and the estimation of the surrounding nation. The northern kingdom was rapidly crumbling to pieces. many were perishing by the sword. A multitude had already been carried away captive. Soon Israel would fall completely into the hands of the Assyrians and be utterly ruined. And this fate would surely befall Judah as well, unless Yahweh should work mightily through the chosen representative. Hezekiah appealed directly to the priest to unite with him in the bringing about the necessary reform. "Be not now negligent," he exhorted them, "for Yahweh has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Sanctify now yourself, and sanctify the house of Yahweh Elohim of your fathers," verses 11 and 15. It was a time for the quick action. The priests began at once enlisting the cooperation of others of their number who had not been present during this conference. They engaged heartily in the work of cleansing and sanctifying the temple because of the years of the desecration and neglect. This was attended with many difficulties, but the priests and the Levites labored untiringly, and within a remarkably short time they were able to report their task completed. The temple doors had been repaired and thrown open. The sacred vessels had been assembled and put into place, and all were in readiness for the reestablishment of the sanctuary services. And the first service held, the rulers of the city united with King Hezekiah and with the priests and Levites in seeking forgiveness for the sins of the nation. Upon the altar were placed sin offerings to make an atonement for all Israel. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Once more the temple courts resounded with the words of praise and adoration. The songs of David and of Asaph were sung with joy as the worshipers realized that they were being delivered from the bondage of sin and apostasy. Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that Elohim had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly, verse 24, 29, and 36. Yahweh had indeed prepared the hearts of the chief men of the Judah to lead out in a decided reformatory movement, that the tide of the apostasy might be stayed. Through his prophets, he had sent to his chosen people message after message of the earnest entreaty, messages that had been despised and rejected by the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel, now given over unto the enemy. But in Judah there remained a goodly remnant, and unto these the prophet continued to appeal. Here Isaiah urging, "Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted." Isaiah 31:6. Here Micah declaring with the confidence, "I will look unto the Yahweh, I will wait for the Yahweh of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Yahweh shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yahweh, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth unto the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." Micah 7:7-9. These and other messages revealing the willingness of the Elohim to forgive and accept those who turned unto him with the full purpose of the heart had brought hope unto many a fainting soul in the dark years when the temple doors remained closed. And now, as the leaders began to institute a reform, a multitude of the people, weary of the thraldom of sin, were ready to respond. Those who entered the temple courts to seek forgiveness and to renew their vows of the allegiance unto Yahweh, and a wonderful encouragement offered them in the prophetic portions of the Scripture, the solemn warnings against idolatry, spoken through Moses in the hearing of all Israel, had been accompanied by the prophecies of Yahweh's willingness to hear and forgive those who in the times of the apostasy should seek him with all the heart. If thou turn unto Yahweh thy Elohim, Moses had said, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for Yahweh the Elohim is a merciful Elohim, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Deuteronomy 4:30-31. And in the prophetic prayer offered at the dedication of the temple, whose services Hezekiah and his associates were now restoring, Solomon had prayed, "When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel." 1 Kings 8:33-34. The seal of the divine approval had been placed upon this prayer, for at its close, fire had come down from the heaven to consume the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh had filled the temple. See 2 Chronicles 7:1. And by the night that Yahweh had appeared unto Solomon to tell him that his prayer had been heard, and that mercy would be shown those who should worship there. For the gracious assurance was given, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 14. These promises met abundant fulfillment during the Reformation under the Hezekiah. The good beginning made at the time of the purification of the temple was followed by a broader movement in which Israel as well as Judah participated. In his zeal to make the temple services a real blessing unto the people, Hezekiah determined to revive the ancient custom of the gathering the Israelites together for the celebration of the Passover feast. For many years, the Passover had not been observed as a national festival, for the division of the kingdom after the close of the Solomon's reign had made this seem impractical. But the terrible judgments befalling the 10 tribes were awakening in the hearts of some a desire for the better thing, and the stirring messages of the prophets were having their effect. By the royal couriers, the invitation unto the Passover at Jerusalem was heralded far and wide from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. For the bearers of the gracious invitation were usually repulsed, for the impenitent turned lightly aside. Nevertheless, some eager to seek Elohim for a clearer knowledge of his will, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles 30:10-11. In the land of the Jews, the response was very general, for upon them was the hand of Yahweh to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes, a command in accord with the will of Yahweh as revealed through his prophet, verses 22-21. The occasion was one of the greatest prophet, and two, the multitudes assembled, for the desecrated streets of the city were cleared of the idolatrous shrine placed there during the reign of Ahab. On the appointed day, the Passover was observed, and the week was spent by the people in the offering, peace offering, and in the learning what Elohim would have them do. Daily, the Levites taught the good knowledge of the Yahweh, and those who had prepared their hearts to seek Yahweh found pardon. For a great gladness took possession of the worshiping multitude, for the Levites and the priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with the loud instruments. All were united in their desire to praise him who had proved so gracious and merciful, verse 12. For the 7 days usually allotted for the Passover feast passed all too quickly, and the worshippers determined to spend another 7 days in the learning more fully the way of the Yahweh. The teaching priests continued their work of the instruction from the book of the law. Daily, the people assemble at the temple to offer their tribute of praise and thanksgiving, and as the great meeting drew unto a close, he said it was evident that Elohim had wrought marvelously in the conversion of the backsliding Judah and in the stemming the tide of the idolatry which threatened to sweep all before it. The solemn warnings of the prophets had been uttered in the vain. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of the Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Verse 20. Verse 26. The time had come for the return of the worshippers to their homes, for the priests and Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voices heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Verse 27. Elohim accepted those who, with their broken hearts, had confessed their sins, and with a resolute purpose, had turned to him for forgiveness and help. There now remained an important work in which those who were returning to their homes must take an active part. And the accomplishment of this work bore evidence unto the genuineness of the Reformation wrought. For the record reads, all Israel that were present went out unto the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim. Also on Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man into his possession and to their own cities. 2 Chronicles 31:1. Hezekiah and his associates instituted various reforms for the upbuilding of the spiritual and temporal interests of the kingdom. Throughout all Judah, the king wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Yahweh and his Elohim, and in every work that he began. He did it with all his heart and prospered. He trusted in the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Yahweh commanded Moses, and the Yahweh was with him, and he prospered. Verse 20, 21. 2 Kings 18:5-7. For the reign of Hezekiah was characterized by a series of other remarkable providences, which revealed unto the surrounding nations that the Elohim of Israel was with his people. For the success of the Assyrians in the capturing of the Samaria, and in the scattering of the shattered remnant of the 10 tribes among the nations during the early portion of his reign, was leading many for the questioning of the power of the Elohim of the Hebrews. Emboldened by their successes, the Ninevites had long since set aside the message of the Jonah and had become defiant in their opposition unto the purposes of the heaven. A few years after the fall of Samaria, the victorious armies reappeared in Palestine, this time directing their forces against the fenced cities of the Judah with some measure of the success. But they withdrew for a season because of difficulties arising in other portions of their realm. Not until some years later, toward the close of Hezekiah's reign, was it to be demonstrated before the nations of the world whether the gods of the heathen were finally to prevail. Well, that ended chapter 28. Chapter 29, the ambassadors from Babylon. Page 340, Prophets and Kings, by Ellen G. White. Let's continue our study. In the midst of his prosperous reign, King Hezekiah was suddenly stricken with a fatal malady. Sick unto the death, his case was beyond the power of the man to help, and the last vestige of the hope seemed removed when the prophet Isaiah appeared before him with the message, "Thus says Yahweh, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Isaiah 38:1. The outlook seemed utterly dark, yet the king could still pray to the one who had hitherto been his refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. And so he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto Yahweh, saying, "I beseech thee, O Yahweh, remember now how I have walked before thee in the truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. 2 Kings 20, verse 2 and 3. Since the days of David, there had reigned no king who had wrought so mightily for the upbuilding of the kingdom of Yahweh in a time of apostasy and discouragement as had the Hezekiah. The dying ruler had served his Elohim faithfully and had strengthened the confidence of the people in Yahweh as their supreme ruler, and like David, he could now plead, "Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of the troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave." Psalms 88, 2 and 3. Thou art my hope, O Yahweh Elohim. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. O Yahweh, be not far from me. O my Yahweh, make haste for my help. O Yahweh, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power unto every one that is to come. Psalm 71, verse 5, 6, 9, 12, and 18. He whose compassions fail not, okay, it says, heard the prayer of his servant. Lamentations 3:22. It came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court that the word of the Yahweh came unto him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of Yahweh, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." 2 Kings 20, verse 46. Gladly the prophet returned with the words of the assurance and hope, directing that a lump of figs be laid upon the diseased part. Isaiah delivered unto the king the message of the Yahweh's mercy and protecting care. Like Moses in the land of Midian, like Gideon in the presence of the heavenly messengers, like Elisha just before the ascension of his master, Hezekiah pleaded for some sign that the message was from heaven. "What shall be the sign," he inquired of the prophet, "that the Yahweh will heal thee?" "A heal me, and then I shall go up into the house of Yahweh the third day. This sign shalt thou have of Yahweh." The prophet answered, "That the Yahweh will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? It is a light thing," Hezekiah replied, "for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Only by the direct interposition of Yahweh could the shadow on the sundial be made to turn back 10 degrees. And this was to be the sign to Hezekiah that Yahweh had heard his prayer accordingly. The prophet cried unto Yahweh, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz, verses 8 to 11. Restored unto his wonted strength, the king of Judah acknowledged in words of song the mercies of Yahweh, and vowed to spend his remaining days in willing service to the king of kings. His grateful recognition of Elohim's compassionate dealing with him is an inspiration unto all who desire to spend their years to the glory of their Maker. I said... Now, we got this ambassadors now coming from Babylon. He said, "I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years," I said. "I shall not see the Yahweh, even the Yahweh in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with tiny sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me, I reckon till morning, that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even unto night wilt thou make an end of me, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Yahweh, I am oppressed, undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Yahweh, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in mercy and love and my soul delivered it from the pit of the corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Yahweh was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Yahweh. Isaiah 38:10-20. In the fertile valleys of the Tigris and the Euphrates, there dwelt an ancient race which, though at that time subject to Assyria, was destined to rule the world. Among his people were wise men who gave much attention unto the study of the astronomy. And when they noticed that the shadow on the sun dial had been turned back 10 degrees, they marveled greatly. Their king, Merodach Baladan, upon learning that the miracle had been wrought as a sign to the king of Judah that the Yahweh of heaven had granted him a new lease of life, sent ambassadors to Hezekiah to congratulate him on his recovery and to learn, if possible, more of the Yahweh who was able to perform so great a wonder. The visit of those messengers from the ruler of a faraway land gave Hezekiah an opportunity to extol the living Yahweh. How easy it would have been for him to tell them of Yahweh, the upholder of all created things, through whose favor his own life had been spared, when all other hope had fled. What momentous transformation might have taken place had these seekers after the truth from the plains of Chaldea been led to acknowledge the supreme sovereignty of the living Elohim. The pride and vanity took possession of Hezekiah's heart, and in self-exaltation he laid open the covetous eye. The treasures with which Elohim had enriched his people, the king showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not, Isaiah 39:2, not to glorify Elohim did he do this, but to exalt himself in the eyes of the foreign princes. He did not stop to consider that these men were representatives of a powerful nation that had not the fear nor the love of Yahweh in their hearts, and that it was imprudent to make them his confidence concerning the temporal riches of the nation. The visit of the ambassadors unto Hezekiah was a test of his gratitude and devotion. The record says, "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, Yahweh left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." 2 Chronicles 32:31. Had Hezekiah improved the opportunity given him to bear witness unto the power, the goodness, the compassion of the Elohim of Israel, the report of the ambassadors would have been as light piercing darkness. But he magnified himself above the Yahshua the Holy. He rendered not again according unto the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Verse 25. How disastrous the results which were to follow. To Isaiah it was revealed that the returning ambassadors were carrying with them a report of the riches they had seen, and that the king of Babylon and his counselors would plan to enrich their own country with the treasures of Jerusalem. Hezekiah had grievously sinned, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 25. Then came Isaiah, the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, "What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee?" And Hezekiah said, "They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon." Then said he, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Then said Isaiah unto Hezekiah, "Hear the word of Yahshua of the host." This is actually the son. Yahshua is the one that's the king of the host here on this earth. So when we read that the Lord of hosts, we're really talking about Yahshua. We're going to learn that Yahshua is addressed more in the Old Testament than we realize. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith Yahweh. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of Yahweh, which thou hast spoken." Isaiah 39:3-8. Filled with remorse, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of Yahweh came not upon him in the days of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32:26. But the evil seed had been sown, and in time was to spring up, and yield a harvest of desolation and woe. During his remaining years, the king of Judah was to have much prosperity because of his steadfast purpose to redeem the past and to bring honor unto the name of Yahweh whom he served. Yet his faith was to be severely tried, and he was to learn that only by putting his trust fully in Yahweh could he hope triumphed over the powers of darkness that were plotting his ruin and utter destruction of his own. The story of Hezekiah's failure to prove true to under this trust at the time of the visit of the ambassadors is fraught with an important lesson for all. Far more than we do, we need to speak of the precious chapters in our experience of the mercy and loving kindness of Yahweh, of the matchless depths of the Savior's love. When mind and heart are filled with the love of Elohim, it will not be difficult to impart that which enters into the spiritual life. Great thoughts, noble aspirations, clear perceptions of the truth, unselfish purposes, yearnings for piety and holiness will find oppression or expression in the words that reveal the character of the heart treasure. unto those with whom we associate day by day need our help, our guidance. They may be in such a condition of the mind that a word spoken in season will be as a nail in a sure place. Tomorrow some of these souls may be where we can never reach them again. What is our influence over these fellow travelers? Every day of the life is freighted with the responsibilities which we must bear. Every day our words and acts are making impressions upon those with whom we associate. How great the need that we set a watch upon our lips and guard carefully our steps. One reckless movement, one imprudent step, and the surging waves of some wrong temptation. May sweep a soul into the downward path. We cannot gather up the thoughts we have planted in the human mind. If they have been evil, we may have set in motion a train of the circumstances, a tide of the evil, which we are powerless to stay. On the other hand, if by our example we aid others in the development of the good principles, we give them power to do good. In their turn, they exert the same beneficial influence over others. Thus, hundreds and thousands are helped by our unconscious influence. The true follower of Yahshua strengthens the good purposes of all with whom he comes in contact. Before an unbelieving, sin-loving world, he reveals the power of Elohim's grace and the perfection of his character. End of chapter 29. Chapter 30, Deliverance from Assyria. Deliverance from the Assyria. In a time of the grave national peril, when the hosts of the Assyria were invading the land of the Judah, and it seemed as if nothing could save Jerusalem from utter destruction, Hezekiah rallied the forces of his realm to resist with the unfailing courage their heathen oppressors and the trust and the power of the Yahweh to deliver. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, Hezekiah exhorted the men of Judah. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh or Elohim to help us, and to fight our battle, 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. It was not without reason that Hezekiah could speak with certainty of the outcome. For the boastful Assyrian, while used by Elohim for a reason as the rod of his anger for the punishment of the nations, was not always to prevail. See Isaiah 10, verse 5. Be not afraid, the Assyrians, had been the message of the Yahweh to the Isaiah some years before unto the those that dwelt in the Zion. For yet a very little while, and the Yahshua of the host shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Verses 24-27. And another prophetic message given in the year that the king Ahaz died, the prophet had declared, the Yahweh, Yahshua the host has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, we're going to have to get used to this here, Yahshua being this Yahshua the host. When Adam and Eve sinned, Yahweh and his son was right there. And even before this sin, when Yahweh created Adam, Yahshua was right there with him. He said, let us come and let us make man in our image. And Yahshua was there for a reason. Because if man sins, then there's going to have to put in the plan of salvation for mankind to come back to the Garden of Eden, to enable him to come back. And that was the slaying of the lamb. That lamb represented Yahshua, because in scriptures, Yahshua is also called the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, that first lamb slain, Yahshua was there. And so, rightfully so, because that lamb represented him, and that blood of that lamb represented the blood of Yahshua. So the sacrificial offering and sacrifice plan went into operation right at the garden gate, the day that Adam and Eve sinned, and Yahshua has been the advocate and the king of this world ever since. He was the advocate for the Old Testament through the blood of the Lamb. And we know that when Yahweh sent Moses down into Egypt, we know that Yahshua went with him. Yahshua was in that cloud, right there, present, right there above the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. So Yahshua was that rock in the cloud. Well, Yahshua spent his whole 4,000 years in the Old Testament having his presence here, invisible presence here on earth. He had 4,000 years to have his invisible presence here on earth in the Old Testament. And all the prophets of old understood this. All your spiritual leaders of old, the priests and so forth, they all understood that Yahshua was represented as the advocate of the sanctuary service because of that lamb that represented his sacrifice. Alright? That I will break, let's continue on. That I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountain, tread him underfoot, then shall his yoke depart from off them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is a purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is a hand that is stretched out upon all the nations for the Yahshua of the host is purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah 14:28, 24-27. For the power of the oppressor supposed to be broken, yet Hezekiah in the earlier years of his reign had continued to pay tribute unto Assyria in the harmony with the agreements entered into by the Ahaz. Meanwhile, the king had taken counsel with his princes and his mighty men and had done everything possible for the defense of his kingdom. He had made sure of a bountiful supply of water within the walls of Jerusalem, while without the city there should be a scarcity. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up unto the towers of another. Okay, up unto the towers. And another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of the David, and made darts and shields in the abundance, and he set captains of war over the people. 2 Chronicles 32:3-5-6. Nothing had been left undone that should be done in the preparation for a siege. At the time of the Hezekiah's ascension unto the throne of the Judah, the Assyrians had already carried captive a large number of the children of Israel from the northern kingdom. And a few years after he had begun to reign, and while he was still strengthening the defenses of Jerusalem, the Assyrians besieged and captured Samaria and scattered the 10 tribes among the many provinces of the Assyrian realm. For the borders of Israel were only a few miles distant, with Jerusalem less than 50 miles away, and the rich spoils to be found within the temple would tempt the enemy to return. For the king of Judah had determined to do his part in preparing to resist the enemy, and having accomplished all that the human ingenuity and energy could do, he had assembled his forces and had exhorted them to be of a good courage. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, had been the message of the prophet Isaiah unto Judah. And the king with the unwavering faith now declared, with us is the Yahweh Elohim to help us and to fight our battles. Isaiah 12:6, 2 Chronicles 32:8. Nothing more quickly inspires faith than the exercise of the faith. The king of Judah had prepared for the coming storm, and now confident that the prophecy against the Assyrians would be fulfilled, he stayed his soul upon the Yahweh. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32:8. And though the armies of the Assyria fresh from the conquest of the great nations of the earth and triumph over Samaria and Israel should now turn their forces against Judah, but though they should boast, as my hand hath found the kingdom of the idols and whose graven images did excel them of the Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, do so unto Jerusalem and her idols? Isaiah 10:10-11. Judah had nothing to fear, for their trust was in the Yahweh. The long-expected crisis finally came, for the forces of the Assyria, advancing from triumph to triumph, appeared in Judea. Confident of the victory, the leaders divided their forces into two armies, one of which was to meet the Egyptian army to the southward, while the other was to besiege Jerusalem. Judah's only hope was now in Yahweh. All possible help from Egypt had been cut off, and no other nations were near to lend a friendly hand. The Assyrian officers showed the strength of their disciplined forces, arranged for a conference with the chief men of Judah, during which they innocently demanded the surrender of the city. This demand was accompanied by the blasphemous revilings against the Elohim of the Hebrews, because of the weakness and apostasy of the Israel and Judah, the name of Elohim was no longer feared among the nation that had become a subject for the continual reproach. See Isaiah 52:5. Now speak ye now unto Hezekiah, said Rabshakeh, one of the Sennacherib's chief officers. Thus saith the king, a great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Saith Kings 18:19-20. The officers were conferring outside the gates of the city, but within the hearing of the sentries on the wall. And as the representatives of the Assyrian king loudly urged their proposals upon the chief men of Judah, they were requested to speak in the Assyrian rather than the Jewish language, in order that those upon the wall might not have knowledge of the proceedings of the conference Reb Shekah, scorning this suggestion, lifted his voice still higher, and continued to speak in the Jewish language, said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Yahweh, saying, the Yahweh will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out unto me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, till I come and take ye away unto a land like unto your own, a land of the corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Yahweh will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of the Assyria? Where are the gods of the Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of the Seraphim? And have they delivered Samaria out of thy hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Isaiah 36:13-20. Unto these taunts the children of Judah answered him not a word. For the conference was at an end. For the Jewish representatives returned to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Verse 21-22. The king, upon learning of the blasphemous challenge, rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Yahweh. 2 Kings 19:1. A messenger was dispatched unto Isaiah to inform him of the outcome of the conference. This day is the day of the trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, was the word the king sent. It may be the Yahweh the Elohim will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living Elohim, and will reprove the words which the Yahweh the Elohim hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Verses 3-4. For this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried unto heaven. 2 Chronicles 32:20. Yahweh answered the prayers of his servants. Unto Isaiah was given the message for Hezekiah. Thus saith Yahweh, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the kings of the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return unto his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. 2 Kings 19:6-7. The Assyrian representatives, after taking leave of the chief men of the Judah, communicated direct with their king, who was with the division of his army guarding the approach from Egypt. Upon hearing the report, Sennacherib wrote letters to rail on the Yahweh Elohim of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the Elohim of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. 2 Chronicles 32:17. The boastful threat was accompanied by the message, that not thy Elohim in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done unto all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of the Seraphim, of the Henna and Iva? 2 Kings 19:10 to 13. When the king of the Judah received the atoning letter, he took it into the temple and spread it before the Yahweh, and prayed with a strong faith for help from the heaven, that the nations of the earth might know that the Elohim of the Hebrews still lived and reigned. Verse 14. The honor of the Yahweh was at stake. He alone could bring deliverance. O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, Hezekiah pleaded, thou art the Elohim, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Yahweh, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Yahweh, thine eyes and see and hear the words of the senator which has sent him to reproach the living Elohim. Of a truth, Yahweh, the kings of the Assyria, have destroyed the nations in their land and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Yahweh Elohim, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Yahweh Elohim, even thou only. 2 Kings 19:15-19. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O Yahweh, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Yahweh, Elohim of the host, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O Elohim of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and this caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered in the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O Yahweh of the host. Yes, Yahweh of the host. It's talking about God of the host here now. It's talking about the Father. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou mayest strong for thyself. Okay, so now it's talking about this branch, the right hand of his planting. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Yahweh Elohim of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalms 80. Hezekiah, pleading in behalf of Judah and of the honor of their supreme ruler, were in harmony with the mind of the Yahweh. Solomon, in his benediction at the dedication of the temple, had prayed unto the Yahweh for the maintaining of the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Yahweh is the Elohim, and that there is none else. 1 Kings 8:59-60. Especially when the Yahweh is to show favor when in times of the war or of the oppression by an army, the chief men of Israel should enter the house of prayer and plead for the deliverance. Verses 33 and 34. This means in rest that this hour contest is at the 11th hour call, and number 11 click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song entitled, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our care. We share a mutual woe, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope